Hey everyone, I'm Jeff Gibber, the President and Chief Strategist of True Voice Media. I'm also the host of Conversations, the True Voice Media podcast where I bring on fascinating people from all walks of life and pick their brains about social media, entrepreneurialism, success, and so much more. For around the next 30 minutes, I get to have a really interesting conversation. You should stick around and listen in. So without further delay, let's get started. This is episode 32B of Conversations. I'm here with a guest. You may have heard her voice before if you had listened to the original recording that we just lost because my computer crashed. So we are here on take two with Saba. Saba, please reintroduce yourself to the people who didn't hear the first one, but I did.
Thanks, Jeff. Happy to be on the show. My name is Saba Sadili. Yes. I am the founder of iStream Social, and we are a social media marketing agency that helps businesses and brands with their social media. And we focus specifically a lot on live streaming content and how companies can reverse engineer their social presence by having live stream content available to their audience.
I like your second one. This one was good. So for those listening, I am just kidding because Saba and I have been, we were just like knee deep in the most awesome conversation and my computer decided to freeze Saba's face and then go black screen of death with a gray box that said, screw you, you're not getting this first take. So we're on take two. This is the magic of podcasting. And if you are out there ever thinking of doing a podcast, just keep in mind, this can happen. Also, always check your audio. I'm hoping by the end of this that we have both of our audio. Don't jinx it, Jeff.
I hope so, too.
Don't jinx it, but maybe. Okay, so here's where I want to jump into because we got through a bunch of different topics, but I want to recover some ground, but I want to ask it to you in a different way. So you are relatively new at this, you in terms of this as being your business, and you are in the live streaming space. You're really into it, and we talked a little bit about Periscope and Blab and Meerkat and how these are not the first iterations of live streaming, but how the technology infrastructure that we now have makes it a more ideal time to think about these technologies. And where I want to spend a little bit of time going back over it for the people listening is why this is going to stick. And before I let you answer that, I just want to put in that oftentimes I'm asked, how do I know, like, should I spend my time on Twitter? How do I know it's not a fad? Or should I spend my time on LinkedIn? How do I know that it won't be gone tomorrow? And what I typically answer to that is, it doesn't really matter because it's an opportunity now. So what are you going to do with that opportunity now? And don't worry about whether in 5 years it's still going to be providing value to you because for right now you can get some value from it. You've gotten involved in live streaming as sort of the starting point. Why do you believe so fully in it, and do you think that this has legs, or is this just an opportunity for right now?
I think you hit the nail on the head so perfectly because so many people worry about what the space is going to look like in 5 years, right? They have this constant worry that if I put in work now, what if it's not going to pay off later, right? But the reality of the situation is that there are people on these platforms, right? Periscope has a huge user base. Is it the whole world like Instagram? No. But is it people? Yes. Do you have something to provide to them? Yes. So should you be on there? Not every day, but, you know, having a schedule and being on there, it's going to be effective for you, right? And so I think live streaming has legs and it's going to take off. And I think the main reason it's going to take off is because 3 years ago when Ustream and YouNow and all those Spreecast and those platforms were coming out, we didn't have this mobile technology of, you know, FaceTiming regularly and Skyping on our phones, streaming live video, right? But now we have these capabilities. And in addition, social channels have evolved, right? They have matured. And as we've seen them kind of evolve, we're seeing that Snapchat was sort of the bridge between visual content and stagnant content, right? So what I mean by that is that we were just used to kind of putting out content that was very, I guess, one-dimensional, right? And then all these platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, they introduce video. And then Snapchat was slowly growing since 2011. And I remember in 2011 when I had Snapchat and it was very stigmatized. But today, Snapchat is making huge headlines. Coca-Cola is using it. Amazon is using it. Big agencies are using it to market, right? And so what Instagram has done, or what Snapchat has done, is it's really allowed for video content and real-time exchange. So people have gotten comfortable with being live and being real-time. So that comfort is now going to transition to a more mature level, which is live streaming, Periscope, lab, meerkat, or whatever else may come in the future. And I think that's why it's going to stick, because physically and behavior, or psychologically, sorry, and as well as mentally, we have accepted this type of content, where a couple of years ago, it wasn't native to us. We were still trying to get used to Instagram, right? And trying to put our world out there. So it, does that make sense? Sort of, yeah. Kind of that progression of what kind of content you're putting out.
So you brought up Snapchat, which I think is something that I'd love to play with a little bit, because, you know, your world being live streaming, I think Snapchat kind of blurs that line about whether or not it is live streaming. I mean, it's not a traditional definition of live streaming. It's not the Periscope. It's not the, you know, Blab, where you are watching in real time. But it is kind of giving you a snap of the moment a little bit in real time. And you always can turn on the, obviously, the video chat feature. But I want to talk a little bit about the thing about live streaming that I find draws people to it in a certain light, is that this is happening now, right? So there's a certain ephemeral quality to it. And one of the things that drew people to Snapchat is this idea that it won't live on forever. I don't need my stupid, silly face selfie to live on forever. So do you see that we are moving in one direction or another in this real time, real life space, where we're either moving towards capturing or fleeting content, or are they kind of coming together?
I think they're coming together, right? So I think there's one part of it where people want to create content live, sort of on the live streaming side of things, where they want to be creating the content and engaging with their community at the same time, right? So it's a very different model than YouTube, where YouTube is very, you know, produce the episode, post-produce the episode, and then in 2 weeks it's going to be on YouTube, and then it's going to live there forever, right? So this is really telling us we're going to put out content, we're going to engage our community, and then we're going to upload it with that engagement, right? And it actually humanizes it. The Snapchat side of it is, okay, just like you said, no one wants their selfie or what they ate for dinner. No one is going to care about that next week, right? So you're saying you have a 24-hour window. So it creates this urgency, but not now, but it creates a 24-hour window of urgency, right? And the impressions and sort of the way that Snapchat is sort of, I guess, set up, you can see and you can track sort of what type of engagement you're getting. And that's really important. And right now, Snapchat influencers is sort of a really big thing, and it's growing, right? It's kind of at the beginning where YouTube influencers were a couple years ago. And so these YouTube influencers, or sorry, these Snapchat influencers are getting paid big money by brands to either take over an account or create story and create a storyline around their community. So you can see there's a shift, and they're kind of coming together to kind of become more powerful.
So you spend so much of your time in this space, obviously. You're looking to get clients, you're working with brands. You're obviously extremely excited about this stuff. You spend a lot of time thinking about it. You're watching the different platforms as they evolve. You're actually using the platforms. So obviously your enthusiasm, especially with somebody like me who's in the space as well, is it's infectious and it's exciting. But the brands that you're talking to, obviously if they knew how to do this, wouldn't be talking to you. How do you open the conversation for them in a way that's relatable and it ties back to the bottom line of what it means for them, as opposed to trying to get them to buy into the newest shiny thing? What's your pitch to the average business? Who are you generally talking to, and what do you say to them?
Yeah, so the average kind of business is really, most of them are actually struggling a lot with social media, right? So they're frustrated with either previous services that they've had, you know, kind of empty promises that haven't been delivered on, you know, just sort of a monthly cost, and they just don't really understand it. But the silver lining for both you and I, Jeff, is that they know they have to be there, right? They know they have to have a social media presence. They want to be engaging with their community, but they're frustrated and they don't know how. And that is where the perfect opportunity for live stream arrives. It's the fact that the space is not noisy, right? There's not every single brand like Instagram is not on live stream, right? Not every single brand is on Twitter. Not every single business is on Facebook. And so the opportunity really now, the opportunity of now, right, is that they can create a voice for themselves and they can really start leveraging that voice and then push their audience to the other platforms. And my analogy is really, even if you're a brand that has zero followers, if you start doing live stream and Periscope and do a Blab show every week, you're going to start to get known. You're going to see those results, right? And if you're a big brand and you say, hey, you know what? we have huge social media, right? But we have a problem engaging and being really human, right? Like the experience of the world, right? Credit scores and all these things that are just not cool to talk about, right? But they're coming on Blab and they're saying, we want to do a credit chat. We want to provide our community with value, right? So they are setting themselves apart. And there's something to be said for brands that are actually at the cutting edge of social kind of platforms and technology. They're actually just given credit for using them. And that in itself is kind of huge kudos, right? Because the millennials, that's what they want to see, right? If that random brand is on Snapchat, they're automatically a cool kid because they get the cool platform. And that's sort of the same thing with live streaming, right? If a brand like Sephora is using Periscope to show me the new line of lipstick that Kat Von D is going to be releasing, which is actually something that I watched on their Periscope channel, I'm going to become even more of a kind of fan of Sephora and what they're doing because they understand social. They understand the world that I live in, and that's how they're going to get me as a customer.
So they're meeting you on platforms where you are spending time. The question then becomes, with all of these platforms as they emerge, you've got Blab, you've got Periscope, you've got Meerkat, you've got Ustream is still sticking around, you've got your Spreecast, you've got all these different platforms. How do you pick which one? How do you recommend to a brand which one then they should be using? Or are you just setting it up that at each event that they do, they've got six different iPhones and they're broadcasting one on Periscope? When it first came out, you know, Mashable was actually doing that they were doing all of their chats on both from South By. And, you know, how do you advise the client on which one to pick and what's their long-term value of using it?
Yeah. So the key is not to overwhelm your audience, right? You don't want to stretch your audience thin. And that's assuming that you have an audience on a live stream platform, right? So assuming that you do have an audience, you want to be very consistent and you want to have content that's really giving them information. It's not just about broadcasting, right? If you want to just broadcast something, you can just make a video about that, right? That doesn't need to be live streamed. You want to live stream something that the audience can engage and you can answer questions and you can actually provide value, right? You can start a show on Blab around whatever content your business is around and actually create a community around that, right? So if you have a new book that you guys are launching or a new product you guys are launching, you'll have a community to pitch to. And that's really the way you should look at live stream, like any other channel, right? You shouldn't just drown yourself in it, right? Because then you're just too present, right? And then all of a sudden it's overwhelming. But you also want to be very intentional, and that goes a long way because it shows your audience that you are planning, and planning means that you've put in resources and that you're taking the platform seriously, and they should engage with you in a way that is actually going to benefit the both of you.
Got it. So are you, how do you feel about Facebook's live streaming platform and what the impact that'll have on the space?
I think it's a smart move for Facebook, right? Facebook is very, very business savvy. So it makes sense that they have the live streaming capabilities, but at the same time, it's very exclusive, right? And Facebook is very good at doing that, treating kind of their MVPs in a really great way. And so it's only for verified users. And if you're verified, you probably already have an audience, right? So you're not really frustrated with your social presence or your brand equity. So it's there for the people that are kind of at the top. But what about everyone else, right? And so the other platforms such as Periscope and Blab, they're really for the other people that don't have that brand equity, but they want to get to that level.
Do you think Meerkat is dead? Because, you know, we've been talking about this just because, and the reason I ask is that, one, I don't hear anything about it anymore. I read articles about after all of that hype at South By, they actually never cracked the top 200 in downloads on iTunes. And in this conversation, you haven't mentioned them really, except when you're naming all of them at once, when you're talking about you're bringing up Periscope and Blab more than anything. Do you see their future as being kind of limited?
I think that their future is very niche. And I say that because I have you know, spoken to their prior community manager. I was very kind of involved with what they were doing in the beginning, and they did a really good job building their community and bringing YouTube influencers. And they have a really great partnership with GoPro so that you can actually stream a lot of your live stream on certain GoPro products. So I think they're kind of going into this certain niche of audience that might not be mainstream. So if you are like an extreme sports brand, maybe Meerkat is the platform for you because your audience wants to watch things that are a little bit more risque on the platform in terms of like how the video content is being delivered, right? Like through a GoPro product, right? Or device. But in terms of the bigger picture, they have great investors like Gary Vaynerchuk is an investor, which is why it created a lot of buzz on at South by Southwest, right? But obviously because Periscope is owned by Twitter and, you know, they're kind of under that umbrella and they sort of have that name to guide them, I think that Periscope is actually, I mean, in numbers, it is ahead and I think it's going to be able to grow and it's on its way to a more positive trajectory than Meerkat is.
Okay.
But I don't want to say it's dead. I think it has its own place, just like YouNow has its own place with, you know, I think YouNow's demographic is 12 to 18 or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is the space that you play in. You spend a lot of time thinking about it. You spend a lot of time doing it, advising clients. Have you come upon any exceptions? Meaning, have you found any businesses where you're like, whoa, just stay away from the live streaming space? Because I immediately can think of some of my clients who would be terrified of going on a live stream for any number of reasons. What's your experience been as far as, you know, being able to say these are the best kind of brands for live stream versus these are the kind that should probably really strongly consider it?
Yeah. So I think any brand that is selling to a consumer, they should be able to get on live stream. And when I say that, I mean, we're all thinking of the retail stores and the cool products and the gadgets, but I'm talking about like health insurance, right? Something where they would be like, how do I do that, right? And in reality, it would be difficult because they have to actually have someone that has enough personality that can deliver the message, right? I think the ones that wouldn't qualify to be on live stream are more of the B2B businesses that are in a little bit more of sort of a sensitive space, right? So they can't really talk about what they're doing, right? Like, is the FBI and the CIA and the DOD going to be on live stream? Like, probably not, right? And so there's companies like that where they're like big corporate consulting firms like Deloitte and, you know, bigger companies that I think don't have an opportunity, right? But I think even a company like Morgan Stanley can provide value in the space. It's just a matter of whether the ROI long-term is going to be worth it for them and they want to put the resources in. But I think there's a place for the companies that can't use live stream, but I think it's very, very limited.
So I would just to push back on you a little bit on it, because yeah. I think just I want to play with it a little bit because I think we can define it a little bit more clearly where the live streaming kind of hotspot is. Because so I had asked this question because what I'm thinking is I don't think it's necessarily a B2C or B2B so much as it's a regulated issue. So when you brought up healthcare, the first thing I thought was, well, yeah, if you're answering questions on like how to do some things and you stay on message, yeah, sure, you want somebody with personality. But at the same time, you're then dealing with what if they say the wrong thing? Because there are a number of different things in healthcare, finance, law, any of those spaces where if you were to go a little bit out of bounds, you could be subject to some pretty stiff fines, even if it's only in the live streaming space and even if it isn't recorded and re-released on YouTube or anything, even just having that the one time, you could face some pretty stiff penalties. So I think it's possibly that the regulated spaces are some of the areas where live streaming might be more important. That being said, as somebody in the live streaming space, let's hear some ideas for how they actually could.
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually recently talked to a bigger company and I asked their social media manager, you know, what's the deal, right? Like, why aren't you guys on live streaming? Like, you are personally, why isn't your brand, right? This is a global brand that I'm talking about. They said, Saba, our lawyers are like, stay away, you know, like stay away. Experian, I can talk about them openly. You know, he can't actually stream from their headquarters because there's so many firewalls, right? So they go to Starbucks. And so I think the creative ways are just being really responsible with the information, right? So you're just providing education. You're just, I mean, think about it like a YouTube channel, right? Like, if you are putting out information, you can actually say like, this is not advice. I'm not telling you to do this. This is just information that we're providing, just like any other thing where there's kind of terms and conditions, and talk about how you can kind of get around that, right? And if there's questions that come up that you cannot answer, do not engage with those questions, right? So there are ways to sort of be present without being 100% transparent in the information that you provide, right? It's just like when people have conversations about stocks, right? I mean, someone can go and actually take all of that advice, but they say, hey, you know, like, we're not advising you to do this. These are just opinions. And I think it's really about, if you want to make something happen, to talk to your legal departments, talk to the people that are in charge of your company, and talk about the fact that, hey, we feel like there's a need for this information. We're not trying to brainwash anyone. We're not trying to give out wrong information, but we're just trying to provide value. And to your point on healthcare, I worked for Enroll America, which is one of the largest nonprofits that was pushing out the Affordable Care Act to the states that didn't have state programs. And we would get on the phone and we would talk to these people who are uninsured, and we would answer their questions, right? So who am I, right, to answer their questions? I would just answer it to the best of my abilities. And I think if a company or like a nonprofit agency as big as them were to go on Periscope and just give out information, very basic information, it actually does a lot of good, right? So even the little bit goes a very long way.
Right on. You had said something earlier, actually, I was thinking about, and I want to tie it to what I just asked you about, which is the regulated space, how can they use social? And you had mentioned that you can use live streaming sort of as your central point to drive people to your other social channels to kind of help build your networking community in other places. What about flipping that channel? What are some ways that you think companies, particularly in these so I'm thinking of maybe like a company in finance or a company in healthcare, they've become accustomed to and comfortable with using Facebook. They've become accustomed to using Twitter. But live streaming is pretty new for them. How can you sell the case to them that using live streaming can actually help them build their audience on Facebook and Twitter? And then if they're going to do it, how can they leverage their Facebook and Twitter audiences to grow their live stream?
Yeah. So that's really what it's about, right? It's really about not just, I mean, I know we've talked about live streaming in such a vacuum right now because it's such a new topic, but really I talk about the whole ecosystem, right? I personally, when I use Blab and Periscope, I don't use them exclusively, right? I use them in addition to Twitter as well, right? Or I push them to my Instagram. And so I think that understanding how you can sort of move your audiences back and forth is really important. And to answer your question, it really kind of comes down to the fact that there's a place for live video content and there's a place for a blog post, right? I mean, someone, when you're in bed and you're laying down, you're not going to watch a live stream, right? You're going to want to read something. But if, for example, you're doing work and then, you know, get that notification and you're like, let me just tune into this, right? And check this out. So I'm not saying that someone should exclusively do live stream. They should just do it complementary to everything else they're doing, right? And they should tell their Facebook audience, hey guys, we're going to do a live stream next week or every Wednesday at 3 p.m. and we're going to announce the topic to you, and then use Facebook to promote that platform, right? And then the same thing, if they're on that live stream, they say, hey guys, like, go on our Facebook, make sure to follow us, make sure to like keep up with the content. We're going to be having some cool giveaways on our Facebook page, this and that, right? So they're using both platforms together and creating that eco space that's really complementary to your audience, and making sure that you're providing different types of content is really, really important.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with all of that. I want to talk about some of the dirty side of dirty is a wrong word there. Some of the dark side, I guess, of live streaming.
Okay.
So, one of the biggest concerns that we run into with clients is one of the most common things that anybody that works in this space runs into is, what if people say bad things about us? Right. It's a very commonly stated, concern is this fear of, what if they don't like me? So they don't get involved at all. So same thing might be true for live streaming. If you're trying to build the case for you should be on live streaming, there's going to be that same concern that they had on Facebook and on Twitter or on Yelp or any of the other things, that what if they say something mean? And my answer has always been, conversations are going to happen whether or not you're there. So isn't it better that you're at least there and listening? But for live streaming, we're looking at, if you look at a platform like Blab, you're giving somebody a seat and sure, you kick them out as the moderator, but the damage is done once they've come on and said something perhaps. Or if they're in the chat window, there's only so much you can do while watching it and monitoring at the same time. How do you ease the fears of companies that may want to get into the live streaming space but are concerned about bad actors? And what is your approach for dealing with this either proactively or reactively?
Yeah. So this is a great topic because it's come up a lot, right? And there's already, you know, people that have experienced this or they have a fear of it. And really it comes down to one of the great things about the live streaming space is it's very self-policing, right? So the people that are in the community are very passionate about sort of the potential and making sure that the space doesn't get polluted, right? With these types of people, these trolls, sort of these people that are just kind of out to kind of make a comment. And really the way to kind of combat it or basically kind of address it is I think to make sure that if there's something that someone says, for you to either engage with it in a way that is consistent and aligns with your brand, or you're a little bit more scripted with the way that you're going to engage, right? So there's some blabs where they don't let random audience members in, right? They have sort of people that they're wanting to come in and you kind of have to get screened before, right? During the Periscope, it's the same thing, right? So if you are a successful business, you have a whole audience, probably like 85% of the people that want to listen to you want to listen to you because they want to support you, right? There's maybe that 1 or 2% that want to come and say something. And the reality is they're not going to ruin your brand, right? They're just not going to. Actually, the opposite's going to happen. Your community will actually defend your brand, right? And I've seen that on a lot of scopes where it's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then that person's like, get that person out of here. And Periscope has done a really good job where they've actually flagged certain words. And so if you say a certain word, it'll actually pop up and say, are you sure you want to say this, right? So they're making sure that they're kind of monitoring the community for trolls. And also, it's really easy to block people. Like, you don't have to do anything crazy. As you're streaming and you're holding the phone in front of you, you can actually just click the screen and then click that person's profile and then click block. It's two touches. So it'll be off of the screen in seconds and that person is out, right? And so there's ways to really monitor that. And I think the idea of that, it's important to be aware and to be trained on how to kind of deal with those type of situations. But that's true on any platform, right? Someone can post a terrible Facebook post about you, right? They can post a terrible complaint about you on Twitter. So, I mean, it's present everywhere. And I think live stream might be intimidating, like you mentioned, because it's so real time. And, you know, you can't really do too much damage control because it's in the moment.
Mm-hmm. So we're coming upon a really interesting point in time for live streaming to happen. If you think about where we are in the timeline of the United States, that is, we're coming upon election season very soon. And live streaming has really hit a point. And I actually purposely kind of asked you this question because I wanted to lead you down out of brands for a little bit and talk about live streaming as more of a bigger ideal.
Mm-hmm.
One of the areas where you see the most bad actors, or at least the biggest and nastiest conversations, where people just go back and forth and the vitriol is just disgusting. It is hard to even watch, is in political conversations. If you are on Facebook and you dare drop into the comments, or if you go on YouTube and see anything about a gun debate, like, it just gets really ugly really quickly. And now we have this new tool, live streaming, where in real time you can completely abuse one another in one of the worst possible ways. Do you think that the nastiness that comes out in the other social networks, one, do you think that politicians are going to be moving towards live stream as one of their channels, maybe doing a town hall on Blab, or maybe doing a live stream of one of their events on Periscope and taking questions? Or do you think that's going to be the sort of thing that for now they might stay away from? Do you think, you know, how Obama's campaign in 2008 really leveraged these new technologies, and then even more so in 2012, really leveraged these technologies to make headway and figure out where they should be spending time? Do you think live stream is going to play an important part there?
I think it's going to be a huge part in the political campaign that's coming up. And there's two reasons, right? So Donald Trump is already periscoping, right? And we all know Donald Trump, he comes from a business background. He understands having fans. He loves publicity, whether it's for something that he negatively said or whether it was positively, he just wants to be on TV talking, right? So he is constantly periscoping every time that he is speaking somewhere, right? And who is he reaching? Someone like me, right? And why is he up in the polls? For that exact reason. When the Democratic election happened, they were interviewing Donald Trump. I don't understand that, right? But that's how popular he is, right? He is all over Twitter, right? He is all over social media. And I think that this fear of being a politician and getting pushback, that's natural, right? That's what their career has been. So if there's an opportunity cost of there is more advantage to being on live streaming platforms and taking some of those harder questions and being able to combat them and actually getting a good return in terms of, like, you know, election numbers going up and things like that, I think it's worth it for them. And I think that, just like you mentioned, Obama in 08 and again in 2012, he was able to leverage social media. I think this is sort of the next level social media.
Interesting. Next level social media. I think that makes all the other social media platforms feel bad when you say that.
I know. I love Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat and Twitter all the same.
There we go.
Yes, Twitter.
Let me ask you a couple questions about, you know, you fell in love with this space, and it's still a relatively new space in terms of its recent popularity. It's been around for a while, but, you know, again, you said that the space is now better supportive of it from a technology perspective and promoting it, et cetera. What's missing in the space? What do you really want to see come of the live streaming space? Where do you, as a professional that advises their companies, where do you find friction, slowdowns, barriers where you want to be able to break through? What would you like to see more of in this space?
Yeah. So there's two main things. One is better content, right? And the content is not there yet, right? So every channel that's new, there's a lot of people who are just testing it out. There's some people that are going all in. I just actually got a notification for support Sephora doing something at their HQ. So there's a huge gap in content, right? So all of the marketing and the business and the Mashables and the Verges of the world are on these platforms, right? But what about all the different other categories, right? The car enthusiasts, the airplane enthusiasts, the card collectors, the poker players, right? Like, where is the content for them? And so once you have a diversified pool of content, that's when you're going to see the masses, right? So Instagram was first for those, like, hipster photographers that were trying to get cool filters. And then all of a sudden, like, your mom and your grandma were there because there was stuff for them to look at, right? So there's a content, I wouldn't say it's a barrier. I just think there's a lack of, because of sort of the infancy of the space. The other one is discoverability, right? So Periscope doesn't have a good way for you, Jeff, to find what you want to watch. Unless you're kind of pulling that list from your Twitter list, but maybe, like, you don't want to listen to social media and marketing. Maybe you want a Puma enthusiast. How are you going to find that Puma enthusiast, right? And so there's huge discoverability problem. And I mean, right now you could probably just go on, you know, Twitter and try to find it using a hashtag and doing, like, a Periscope and, you know, pairing keywords, right? But that's assuming that person was smart enough to hashtag whatever topic they were talking about, right? So I think those are the two areas that I see kind of the most growth in. And the third one is really education on how to use these platforms, right? And I'm not trying to, like, toot my own horn or, like, say I'm amazing, but I think just understanding how to use the platform correctly elevates the platform, right? So the person who figured out how to use their business Facebook page, they set the precedent, and then it, like, almost flagged Facebook and said, oh, we got to make sure that these businesses want to stay on our platform, right? Instagram, same thing. First, it was just like, oh yeah, trending hashtags, Insta love, Insta good, right? And then all of a sudden it was like, whoa, people are marketing. We got to create trending topics, right? We got to do all this stuff. And I think the same thing needs to happen for live stream, where there needs to be people that are becoming influencers that are teaching people how to use the platform correctly, because that's the only way that it's going to be able to actually create really quality content that's going to be consumable.
Got it. All fair points.
Yeah. Actually, fun fact that you probably don't know is I started my Twitter of February this year.
Wow.
Yeah, but I went all in, and I used a lot of my live streaming to basically cross promote my Twitter, and I have over 2,000 followers now that are very, very engaged. So it's doable, even in 2015, to grow your Twitter audience.
Yeah, it's difficult, but it's doable.
It's doable.
Is there anything? This actually just occurred to me, but are there any live audio streaming platforms? Because I only know of podcasts, which are, like, you record them and then you publish them. But are there any live audio streaming? And if there are not, let's pretend that there are or not. I don't know. You tell me. But is that a space that you could see being popular, given how popular podcasting has become?
I don't know of any platforms. There might be that I'm just not aware of. I do know that Blab has a very, I guess, aggressive initiative to make sure that podcasters are taken care of on the platform. So they recently acquired PodClear, which was a podcasting startup. And so they're working with them to make sure audio qualities are very good, the capabilities that podcasters are looking for are actually integrated into the Blab product so that it's a very streamlined, very easy to use platform for podcasters to, for example, basically record their content.
Got it. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So final questions for you.
Yes.
What are you most excited about? You know, the world around us has changed, and you've gotten into this very recently and just fell in love with it and have made such a name for yourself and been so visible in such a short period of time. You know, you've gotten really excited about the live streaming thing. As you're looking around and you're obviously taking in so many new inputs and everything, what are you most excited about seeing? And it could be either for yourself and your own business and how you're marketing yourself or just things you're personally interested in or how you see better serving your clients with any new things that are coming out. What's got your attention right now?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm going to be selfish when I answer this question, but I think it's really giving those people that have a talent, you know, those hidden gems, an opportunity to really shine, right? If Blab and live stream and this whole space didn't evolve, I wouldn't have two podcasts that I run, right? I would have never gotten into the YouTube game. So I think it's all about opportunity and giving the people that want a voice a space to play in and a community that can support them. And I think that's what excites me the most, right? Who are the people that are working on amazing projects that no one knows about, right? And if someone on Blab, if someone invites them to Blab and they start talking about it, they meet someone that they can get connected to and make whatever project they are working on come true, right? Or someone that's looking for a job. I know Carlos Gill has done a few segments on people who are looking for a job and reverse engineering that whole process and hacking it and saying, hey, I'm a candidate looking for a job and I'm going to invite three people who are hiring to interview me on Blab, right? So the different sort of functions and just the new opportunities that this new social media channel is going to be presenting for people, because that's ultimately what every social media platform that is a big player in the space has done, right? Facebook allowed companies to become really big and have huge fans and in return for them to have ROI, right? Instagram has created a whole new category of work for these Instagram influencers, right? This is their career. It's created a whole new job market. And I think live stream is presenting that exact same opportunity. And it's we're in a really, really exciting time.
Saba, I love your enthusiasm and I love your face. You're just, you're adorable. I always just love the infectious energy you bring to these conversations. Yeah. Tell the people who are listening to this conversation where they can go to be social with you and where they can go and find you and learn more about what you do and hire you for millions of dollars.
Thanks, Jeff. It's been really fun being on the show. I don't think I've taken a deep dive like that about the live streaming space. And I think you pulled out a lot of great information out of me. So props to you.
Cool. You can listen to it later at truevoicemedia.com/conversations.
I will. I'll promote it. Yeah. So if anyone wants to get in contact with me, I am on Twitter. My handle is Saba Sedighi, S-A-B-A-S-E-D-I-G-H-I. You can also email me at saba@istreamsocial.com. Actually, I'm working on my website. It's getting revamped, so it's not live right now, but it'll be up in a few weeks. And so just hang tight on that. But yeah, Twitter, Instagram, you can email me directly. I'm always available. My DMs are open. And so anyone who wants to reach out, feel free to do so. Shameless plug, I do two shows on Blab every week. One is Tech Lunch, which I co-host with two other individuals, and we go over tech news. And then Social 545, where we had Jeff as our guest a few weeks ago. That's every Thursday at 5:45 p.m., where we talk about social media. So you can also come engage with me live.
Very cool. I strongly recommend that all of you listening actually click all of these links that I'm going to put into the show notes and connect with Saba. I strongly suggest that you go on Blab and watch any of her shows. Her skill as a host is masterful. The way that you are able to move conversations along and keep everybody in line and tweeting out the new topics and everything, you are very, very good at it. And I was very impressed by you. So for all those out there listening, I strongly suggest that you get in touch or at the very least follow along and learn a few things here or there. This has been Jeff Gibbard. This has been True Voice Media Conversations. Thank you to my host or my guest, Saba. See, I even almost called you host there. To my guest, Saba. And tune in for the next one where we will have another phenomenal guest for another phenomenal conversation. Take care, everyone. Thanks for listening. This has been Conversations, the True Voice Media Podcast. And if this is your first time listening, please do us a favor and drop by iTunes or Stitcher and give us a rating. Tell us what you love about the show and what we can do to improve the show. If you're not yet a subscriber, you can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, or you can be notified by email about new episodes. To subscribe, just drop by truevoicemedia.com/conversations. Tune in next time where I bring on another incredible guest and have another interesting conversation. See you next time.